Good to be back tonight. It's good to see such a good back here tonight, Guy. What a great day we've had. This 4 o'clock service, I'm not used to. We meet at 6 at Piney Grove at night, so my kids don't know what to do with themselves. Like, we just left services, and here we are back again. So either way, it's just been a great day for us to be able to be here and to worship with you and to visit with the great brethren here at O'Neill. We always think about you, and we love you, and we care for you, and I hope tonight's lesson might prick somebody's heart and make you think. I grew up with a dad who pushed me to work all the time, to work hard, to provide for my family, and to just know what work is, real work. And for a living, I don't know how many of you know what I do, but I'm an order buyer. I go to stockyards all throughout the week. I was at Pulaski, Tennessee Friday night at a sale. I was in Boonville, Mississippi yesterday. And I buy animals, and we send them all across the world. And that's what I do. And somebody made, I don't remember who it was that told me that earlier, what his wife had said, but regardless, we know what work is. And there's nothing wrong with work. We're commanded to work. We're commanded to provide. There's nothing wrong with having wealth and money and blessings from the Lord. But it's all about who we are, how it shapes us, how it changes us. Or things such as that. That's what I want to think about tonight. I did a little series at Piney Grove that I titled Dangerous Sins. And within each lesson I had a topic, and tonight I want to share one of them with you, obviously, and that being the topic of the love of money. My grandmother on my dad's side was a big game show person. If I was ever at her house, her name was Reba. She passed away in 2009. And we would go to her home and there would always be Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, you know, something. She had a crossword puzzle out of the newspaper. And that's where I get part of my love of game shows. But she taught me something about this one time. She said, she would say, read me that verse. And she'd say, what's the problem? And I would say, money. And she said, there's nothing wrong with money. What's the problem? She said, it's the love of money. And that's what I want you to think about tonight. I want to tell you a quick story to introduce the lesson. Please listen. There was a king who was rich beyond his wildest dreams. He had servants and servants and servants. But he was unhappy. One day he was at his kingdom and one of his servants was working. Somebody we might call someone such as a janitor. They were doing their job sweeping and cleaning. And as they were doing that job, he said, here I am, the king of all this estate with all these servants and all these blessings, and I'm so miserable and unhappy. And his servant was sweeping and cleaning in the building, and he heard the servant humming and singing as that was happening. So he called in one of his advisors, his most trusted advisor, and said, how is it that I have everything and I'm so miserable, and here my servant has very little and almost nothing, and yet he's singing and joyous all the time? And he said, your servant is not yet in the 99 club. And the king said, what's the 99 club? And he said, here's what you got to do. He said, take a bag and put 99 gold coins in the bag. Take it and put it on your servant's doorstep and leave it. So he did that. The servant opened his door and he finds the bag of gold coins. Tommy's got 99 gold coins. He counts them and counts them and counts them. He said, there's 99. Where's the 100th one? And he said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to work and get that 100th gold coin so I have 100. So as he done this, he started overworking, becoming grumpy, miserable. Oh, exhausted, tired, give out, worn out. And he quit singing while he was working. He quit humming. And the king took notice and said, wow, what a transformation in this servant of mine just over these 99 coins. And then he called his advisor in and he said, look how it's changed my worker, my servant. And the advisor said, he has now officially joined the 99 club. Where there is no happiness, there is no peace, there is no satisfaction, contentment. The more we have, the more we want. The more we're given, the more we ask for. You've got to admit, we live in, I think the word used this morning was an entitled world. We live in a spoiled world. We have so much that we don't know how to be thankful. We don't know how to appreciate the small things in life. The people that mean the most. You know how blessed you are here at O'Neill to have so many people? To have such a great building to worship in? To have a community and a county full of believers? We live in one of the greatest parts of the world. And yet all I hear people talk about is they can't wait to travel here, do this and do that, and how terrible it is and how bad we've got it. Call somebody right now that lives in Ukraine, and they'll tell you what it is to have something bad. Call somebody that's been overseas and experienced something like that. So tonight, let's think about this. We don't want to be in that 99 club. We want to be happy, satisfied, thankful for all that we do have. We want to have money. We want to have possessions. We want to be blessed. But we want to use those things as pilgrims. They're just instruments. They're just tools. They don't make us. What about Achan? When I think about this, I think about Guy McDaniel when I was a teenager coming to Piney Grove, and he did a lesson titled, Just Say No. And in that lesson, he brought up Achan. You remember that guy? Have you done that lesson multiple times, maybe? Maybe he remembers, maybe he doesn't, but you did that lesson. I'm sure he does. Achan wanted money or possessions more than he wanted to please God. That's the difference. Do you understand that? More. You know, in the Scripture, we have people that come to me at Piney Grove. Today I was here and I got a text from one of our sisters, and she said she had to work today. She wouldn't be at service, and she didn't realize we weren't going to be here. Or at Piney Grove, excuse me. And what happens is, instead of me missing one Sunday night this year because I had to work a special shift, or for me to miss two Wednesday nights this year because I had to work special shifts, well, all of a sudden, my ox isn't in the ditch. My ox are just out all the time. It's a frequent problem. And now I don't make decisions on, well, I need to put God first, worship God, and the work. All of a sudden, it's, well, if I get a chance, I'll go to serve. If I get a chance. And that's what happens. Turn with me to the Old Testament, to Joshua 7, and let's look at Achan. Joshua 7, verses 18 through 25. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what you have done. Hide it not from me. They were told, don't take anything. And you know what Achan did? He took some stuff and he hid it under his tent. Nobody will know. I hate to waste this, right? Well, continuing on there, verse 20, And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, then I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. Behold, it was in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took him out in the middle of the tent, and brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why have you troubled us? The Lord shall do this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. Boy, I bet he wish he could redo that. There's times in my life I wish I could redo things. Here's something we need to think about. Is it okay to have things? Absolutely. Is it okay to want those things more than God? Absolutely not. Let me tell you the biggest problem we have at home in the church. And by the church at home, I mean local congregations near my place that I know a lot about. I don't know O'Neill well enough to speak for you, but you will. We have people that are that are the best bankers, the best construction workers, the best school teachers, the best farmers. Guy, I'm telling you, we've got some pretty skilled people that go to church with us. We've got some talented folks. But when it comes to leading a song, when it comes to waiting on the Lord's sake, when it comes to visiting with somebody, when it comes to teaching their kids the Bible, when it comes to things about the church, they just lack any talent all of a sudden. I can do anything when it comes to my social job, but when it comes to work with the Lord, I'm just handicapped. I can't do anything. Why is it that way? They love those things more than they love God. And it's easy to do. It's a dangerous way to live. Let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 5. Notice what Paul says to Colossians here regarding this context. Colossians 3, at verse 5. He says, Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, Listen to this list. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. What about us? Are we doing that? Are we mortifying ourselves? And if you go back just a little piece to Ephesians 5:3, he says, but fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness. Now what's he saying about these things? Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Don't let those things be named among you. Don't be like Achan. Want to serve God more than you want those things. You ever been to the cemetery on Decoration Day and put decorations on a loved one's grave? You ever been to a cemetery to a funeral? I think I could probably get everybody with one of those two. You ever seen Ananias and Sapphira's grave? They allowed money to end their life. And many people allow money to run their life. Look with me in Acts chapter 5. I'm pretty sure you know the story. But let's remind ourselves, as in the context of tonight's lesson, dangerous sins. We're talking about dangerous. Well, what makes it dangerous? Well, it could cost us a lot. And you're about to see that. We're in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira's wife sold a possession. And they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained yours, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it still not in your own power? Why, as you conceived this thing in your heart, you've not lied to men but to God? And you know what happens next? Ananias is struck dead. He gives up the ghost. They bring in his wife Sapphira. She does the same thing. She lies. She loses her life. She's struck dead. All over what? Money. That's a dangerous sin, isn't it? Money. How many people have lost their life for less than $100? It's happened. You've seen these criminals where they break in a grocery store or a gas station and somebody loses their life over what? $25 that was in a cash register? Somebody's killed on the streets over what? Whatever's in their wallet? The love of money is a dangerous sin. When you look at Achan, when you look at Ananias and Sapphira, we see several examples that show us this clearly. What about the rich young ruler? What about the rich young ruler? Here's a man who's kept all the commandments from his youth up. He's honored God. He's honored his parents. He lists all these things that he's done. But Jesus says, but you lack one thing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. I want you to think about this passage. We've got a lot of good people that love the Lord. But sometimes in our life, there's one thing that keeps us from being the Christian we ought to be. And in Matthew 19, starting at verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect. Now remember, the better way of saying that probably is complete. If you want to really complete what you're trying to do, there's one thing still in your way. He says, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard him, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Think about that for a minute. Jesus is looking you in the eye and saying, hey, you want to get to heaven? One more thing. Do this, and you're good to go. How much could a person love their possessions to say no to that? Now, everybody in the building tonight, I'm sure you would say, I'd sell my possessions and go. No doubt. How many times do we change our mind when it happens in our life? How many times do we, it's happening all of a sudden. Well, we change the game just a little bit. We're going to audible. We learned in Bible class to say no to this, but now that I've been offered a career where I can make triple digits, I know I'm not going to be able to serve the Lord properly, but buddy, we'll have a good living. Now that all of a sudden we have an opportunity to do something we've always wanted to do, God's going to be on the back burner, but we've always wanted this, right? We had Mother's Day just the other day. Did y'all have Mother's Day here? It's a worldwide event, right? Now, it's still the Lord's Day, first and foremost. You understand what I'm saying by Mother's Day. We try to define a godly mother versus a good mother. Well, let me tell you a good mother. A good mother is a woman who, when her husband's at work, has the kids at ball practice every night. I don't tell you, that takes a good person, because that is boring when their kids are my age and they're out there. It's tough, isn't it? If you've got kids that play in ball, it can be tough. Now, as they get older, hopefully it gets better, right? But either way, they have them. They're doing their homework with them every night. They're practicing ball. They're doing all these things, giving them a bath. That's a good mother. Same for a father. We got Father's Day coming up. But a godly mother has their kids at Bible study every time they have a chance. A godly mother teaches their kids to pray. A godly mother teaches their kids right from wrong. You see the difference in a good mother? Good mother, they bring home that something's going on at school. Well, I'm going to go talk to that teacher. A godly mother, something's going wrong with their soul. I want to talk to you about your eternal life, about your soul. We got a lot of good mothers, a lot of good fathers, but do we have godly mothers and godly fathers? The rich young ruler, he had a blessing that turned out to be a curse. While we're on this earth, Satan's trying to kill us. And for some of us, it may be that we get good jobs and we're able to be well off. Don't let that be your undoing. Don't let that be the stumbling block in your life that causes you not to give the church at O'Neill your best. To give your wife or your husband or your kids your best. It's tough for me a lot of the times. It really is. We need to make sure that we understand when I leave here, it's not going with me. That doesn't mean that I'm reckless and I don't work and provide for my family or I'm foolish about how I spend my money. But that means that it's secondary in nature to our life serving the Lord. Look at this list on the board, please. There we go. We got a lot here. All right, we're in business. Look at this here. Things the love of money, greed, and covetous are lead to. Look at this list. It can cause us to lie. Ananias and Sapphira lied. Why? It was about money. You ever lied about money? I'll never forget, Tommy, when I was in fifth grade, one of the privileges at the elementary school, I went to New Bethel Elementary School. Not the New Bethel that we went through today. I didn't even know it existed. But New Bethel in Colbert County, where my kids go now. My oldest daughter's class has 13 in it, to give you an idea how small a school this is, okay? When I went there, the privilege of being in 5th and 6th grade is you could now get tea at lunch and didn't have to drink milk. Well, for me, that was a huge deal because I can't stand milk. Well, we had a lunch lady named Gladys McNatt. Buddy, she was tough on her. I mean, you didn't mess with Gladys McNatt. She was there when my dad was there, and she's been there with my kids there. She's been there a long time, and she's tough. Well, she had a little tray that you put 35 cents in to get you tea. Well, I remember one day I didn't have 35 cents, but I needed tea. And I remember I had about 15 cents or so, and I was going to put it in there, and I told myself, I'll put in extra tomorrow. I'm not trying to, I just got to have my tea. Well, I'm not mature enough to understand how to handle that. So here I am, a kid, and I'll never forget, I put that in there, and I tried to do it, she couldn't see, and she said, did you put 35 cents? I said, yes, ma'am. And even at that age, I knew I was telling a lie. I never forgot that, because it bothered my conscience. There's people that do stuff every day, they lie. For filthy lucre's sake. For money. For possessions. It can cause us to steal. What about Achan that we just talked about? Has it ever caused you to steal? It happens every day. What about envy or jealousy or pride? That's another reason to beware of social media. Somebody gets a new vehicle, what do? They take a picture of it and put it online for everybody to see. Now, I have no clue if you've ever done that. I'm proud if you've been able to have something such that. I'm always thankful when I get something nice. But then here's so-and-so down the road. I can't believe they got a new van after we can't do anything, pay bills, and there they are buying a new van. They're on vacation number 5. And then you see what that causes? You go to the family reunion. Somebody shakes hands. Well, y'all back from vacation number 4. Yeah, we are. And it's like, man, we can't even get along here. Why? The root. It's got money at the root of it. Envy and jealousy are starting to come from that. What about time? It steals our time. Well, I'm going to work overtime this week and get an extra 40 hours in. You know, they pay time and a half and double time on Sundays. How much time do you have left? How many times have you done that? It causes fighting amongst loved ones. Well, so, our grandpa died. Grandma died. Mom or dad died. Well, they didn't have a will in place. So what are we going to do? Well, he's got 100 acres. I think I should get it. Well, I think I should get it. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, who are we? Is it that important? Are we going to act like this? And I know because I understand it. I'm a human. It hinders us from the work of servants in the kingdom of God. You want to be a worker for the Lord? You ever sung that song? Well, there's a lot of people that say that, but there's never anything that backs it up. It shows that many don't put God first. That's what happens. It shows where our true allegiance and our love really is. What about us? Have you let the love of money, greed, or covetousness do any of those things to you? Beware. Beware of covetousness. Does the love of money, covetousness, or greed in any way affect you in your life? Before you get your psalm books out, let me finish on a strong note here. I want to turn to Luke 12, verse 15 first. And then we're going to read one more passage from Luke, and the lesson's yours. The lessons of the day will be done. Look at Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, Jesus talking, take heed. I'm sorry that keeps echoing. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Beware. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. My grandpa died a few years ago. He was 88. Nelson Dalrymple. Not many people in here would know him, but we do have somebody. I love my grandfather. He was good to me. When my grandmother died 10 years before him, they had worked their whole life. I don't think they ever ate at a nice restaurant. They would go on a date in their 60s and 70s to McDonald's. But they had plenty of money. She kept change. She would go to the farmer's market every week and sell produce they grew in their gardens. They worked so hard their whole lives and just lived the most simplest and basic life. And when they died, they left a lot to their kids. Nothing excessive, but plenty. And last Christmas, we were at a get-together, and I've got some uncles that I love that I don't know as super well, but I know them well enough. And I heard one of them say something that I never dreamed I'd hear, and he said, you know, we buried our father, and he left all this money, but he didn't take it with him. And my grandfather's a great Christian man. Well, I think about that all the time to try to help me think how to treat my kids, to use my time and my family. And I hope you'll think about that. I love them much more than money, but a lot of times I don't show that in my decision-making. I love the church and God way more than money and possessions, but a lot of times I don't show that in my decision-making. Now, I want to tie this morning's lesson and tonight's together for you. This morning, if you weren't here, we talked about hearing the Word of God, the first step. Look with me at Luke 16, and this is the last time I'm going to ask you to turn. Luke 16, we're going to tie this together. And what you're going to see here is a story that Jesus told about a rich man who had died. And when he was on earth, there was a poor man who was begging from him, and he wouldn't have any mercy upon him. So now they've died, and this rich man is in torment. And this poor man is in paradise. I'm in Luke 16, and I want to start at verse 27. And listen to what he says. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, that lest they also come to this place of torment. If you're here tonight, listen to what I'm saying. You've got a man who was rich, he's died, and he's saying, send somebody to talk to my brothers and tell them to change their lives so they don't end up here like me. I had it all on earth and I have nothing here. Earth lasts for maybe 80 to 100 years if you're lucky. Heaven or hell lasts forever. No doubt about it. Eternity. And listen to this next verse. Remember our lesson this morning about hearing. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. We can't get to the day of judgment and say, ugh, I'm not ready. God, give me a second chance. Give me a mulligan here. We've got to hear now. You've got to hear me tonight and think about how you're living your life. Are you hearing God's Word? Have you let greed or covetousness take over the love of money, take over your life? Hear now. This guy's warning you. He was rich on earth, and he's not on earth anymore. He's in torment. He said, please send somebody to tell my brethren. We've got it. We've got his word right here. We've got his warning. Look at the next verse, verse 30. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into him from the dead, they would not repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. If they're not going to hear the Scripture, nothing's going to change their mind. Tonight, if you're here and you've never been baptized into Christ, if you've heard God's Word but you've never repented of your sins, confessed His name before men, what good's that hearing going to do? You've got to do something with it. Maybe today something's struck a chord in your heart and your soul. Be the best you can be for the Lord. Be the best you can be for O'Neill. Make sure you're hearing the Word of God constantly. And make sure that you're hearing what we just talked about. This rich man gave such great advice after it was too late. Don't wait till it's too late. Tonight, if it's heavy on your heart and you know you need to make changes, we would be glad to see you baptized into Christ Jesus for the remission of your sins. I heard a preacher tell a story the other day about when he was a kid. I understood this completely because I was always a scaredy cat. He said that his dad would get them near something and they were going to jump off maybe into a body of water. And he would say, you better do it now before you lose that feeling. Don't get scared. You know, you better do it while it's on your mind, or if you don't, you're going to get scared and back out. A lot of times that's what happens at services. We hear God's Word and right then we're sitting in our pew thinking, I need to be baptized. I need to repent. I need to just make some changes in my life to be better. We walk out of this building and we're feeling it. We go home, we're excited. By Tuesday night, it's done worn off. Don't let it wear off. If we can help you in any way tonight, if you've heard the Word of God today and you want to make a change in your life, why don't you come as we sing the song?